Good morning. Today is Reformation Sunday, and we are celebrating Confirmation Sunday, the affirmation of faith. 1 Corinthians 13, Paul writes, "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing."
Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not self-seeking. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away.
For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in the mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known.
And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
From Romans 6, 1 through 6. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus.
Today's gospel comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friend if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other.
The title of the lesson today is Greater Love Has No One Than This. The love God has for us is incredible and irreplaceable. Because it's constantly in our lives, I feel like we can sometimes take it for granted or forget about it completely. But we are beloved, and I want to strive to remember it always. Without fail, God has shown us his unending love is unmistakable and full of compassion. In Isaiah 54:10, our Lord says, "Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed." Nothing we do can ever sever love's God from us. This is something to rejoice in, as Psalm 136:26 says, "Give thanks to the God of heaven, his love endures forever." God showed us the greatest expression of love when he sent his son to save us, forgiving us for our sins with Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. John 3:16 through 17 states that, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Although we are sinners, God loves us completely, and because of this, he made the ultimate sacrifice on our behalf. God is love, and God strives, and God guides us to live by his perfect example of love. In John 13:34 through 35, Jesus gives this instruction, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You're also to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Through scripture, God has instructed how we are to love. 1 Corinthians 13:4 through 8 tells us what true love is. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. I've been so blessed to have so many people in my life that have been living examples of God's love. Love is patient. My grandpa Hoppy always brought so much light to a room with his humor. He always had some sort of joke or trick up his sleeve to light up people. Just the whole room, everybody smiled. Hoppy was patient with me and took the time to teach me so much. He taught me how to play traditional Korean board games and speak some of the language. I remember sitting at his kitchen table when he taught me my favorite thing I've ever learned in another language, Sarangheo. It means I love you. My favorite memory of him is when he taught me how to do the waltz. In return, I taught him the floss. Love is kind. I met Ella Davlin 5 months ago when I joined the Southeastern Lady Trojans soccer team. She's the type of person that you'd wish you met sooner. When things are challenging, it is so much easier to be negative than it is to be positive. Yet, throughout the season, Ella never gave up on our team. No matter what happened on the field, she always encouraged us and played with a smile on her face. In high school, there seems to be some sort of unwritten cool rule that keeps the upperclassmen from talking to the freshmen. So, Ella's a senior, and she could have not given two thoughts in my direction, but she did the opposite. She showed she cared and shared many conversations with me, and led to us becoming true friends. Love is not self-seeking. My Aunt Jody was one of the most selfless people I've ever met. She always was looking out for others in any way she could. At a hospital, she volunteered as a baby cuddler in the NICU. She opened her own home to children in the Safe Families program. She started a clothing closet at Calvary Bible Church and brought constant donations for families in need. Even after her passing, this closet carries her legacy. It was so impactful that a whole extension was built onto the church, and it was renamed Jody's Closet. Through everything Aunt Jody did, she always had time for her family, and she loved us so much. Love rejoices in the truth. Walk in faith. That's what my Uncle Tyler had tattooed on his arm, along with a cross that he had designed himself. He showed his abiding faith with how much he cared for his family. One thing that always stuck with me was the prayers he said at family gatherings. They were always so thoughtful, and they came straight from his heart. He could tell his faith was strong, and he meant every word. Love always protects. When I started going to school at Giza in 7th grade, I had a rough time making the switch from home to public school, especially with making friends. The part of the day I dreaded the most was lunch period because I didn't want to sit by myself. My STEM immersion teacher, Mr. Shell, found this out and immediately did something about it. He introduced me to so many kids and helped me find a great group of people to sit with during lunch so I would not be alone. Love always hopes. When I was little, I didn't like that I had to call my grandma simply Grandma. She did everything with me, so I felt like she deserved a more important name. I ended up calling her Special Grandma, and the name stuck. My special grandma cherished being with family and was always hoping for more time together with all of us. Beyond that, she held the hope in God's promise of life everlasting and being with Him and all loved ones for eternity. She signed every card with a drawing of two arms stretched out wide, and a note said, "I love you this much." Not only did it show that she loved me, but it was also a symbol of remembrance of Jesus, stretched out on the cross, showing His love for us. Love truly defines us and makes us Christians. 1 Peter 4:8 says, "Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins." Love is alive within us through the Holy Spirit, which exists in us because God loves us. 1 John 3:14 says, "We know that we have passed from death to life because we love each other. Anyone who does not love remains in death." This means that when we take on the love of Christ, we are born again in spirit. As followers of Christ, we are told in 1 John 3:18 that living by true love means not just with our words, but in actions and in truth. This is what is meant by Christian love. 1 Corinthians 13 begins by saying, "And yet I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing." This shows how essential love really is. I am nothing without love. I want to always live within God's love and share it with others. The people I've shared with you today are amazing examples of God's love shining through them. However, the most perfect example of how we should love comes straight from God Himself. 1 John 3:16 says, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters." When Jesus was sacrificed on the cross, it showed us His true love and is the greatest that we'll ever know. So as it states in 1 John 4:7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God."
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This is the first verse of the Bible. As we keep reading, we hear the specific things that God created and the order in which He created them. We hear about light and sky, dry ground and seas, plants, the sun and the moon, fish and birds and animals, and finally, mankind. Each time God created something, He described His creation. He says it was good. Upon finishing His work of creation, God looks back on all He made and He gives the sum of creation one final description. "It was very good," God says. At this point in the history of the earth, we may be able to go one step further. We may say that God's creation was perfect. At this point, there was no sin. There was no death. There was no curse. But that perfect creation didn't last long. By the time we make it to the third chapter in the Bible, we have the first sin. Adam and Eve disobey God and eat the fruit they were told not to eat. This was the first disobedience, the first sin. From that moment, right up to this very morning, all of creation has been struggling under the curse of sin. Romans 5:12 says that sin entered the world through one man, and by this we are all sinful. Sin is not a list of bad things we do, but it is a condition of the heart. We are born into sin and are helpless to do anything about it. Our heart's condition is something we cannot change on our own. However, God promises to change our hearts and free us from sin. In Ezekiel 36:25, God says, "I will sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean." God promises us that He will take action on our behalf. He would baptize us and we would be made clean. God continues it in the next verse. He says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." God promises this to us. "Because of my baptism, I can stand before you today with a different heart, not the cursed heart of a sinner, but a new, living heart of a child of God who has been redeemed." Romans 6:3-11 says, Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Through our baptism, we are united with Christ. His death and resurrection has given us a new life to live for him. Now, we are to help others learn about God in the only way they can be saved. We can only be saved by God himself, not by any works that we do. Matthew 28:19-20 says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." God instructs us to teach others and baptize them into life. We are to help others become alive in Christ. John 15:1-8 talks about bearing fruit and making disciples. We should share God's words and teachings with others so that they too can be saved and share with others the good news that is Jesus' death and resurrection. But the verses also say that we can only bear fruit if we remain in the Lord. All that we say and do is from the Lord and for the Lord. We have nothing without him. Ephesians 2:8-9 state that it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast. No amount of good works will save us from sin. Only through faith and God's grace can we truly live. This is the reason that Tara and I are here today to affirm our baptism. We are being reborn into a new life through Christ and his grace. Amen.